Ladies and gentlemen,
listen to the crowd roar.
It's your Saturday morning sports filler. Iron Woman Candace Warner, racing royalty Richard Friedman, and armchair expert Brendan Anakin. Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
Welcome back.
Hello, podcasters. Welcome to the podcast.
Hello, mate.
I'm not saying hello to you. I'm saying hello to the podcasters.
Hello, everyone.
Hello, Candace.
Oh, hi.
You don't have to pretend like we're just meeting.
I know.
Because we've spent like...
Really? You've been really awkward. It's
the magic of radio.
It is, but this is a podcast. Oh. This is an audio medium.
For the podcast listeners, I've just been given this unbelievable beanie. But do you know what? I'm sitting here thinking...
It's an unbelievable beanie?
Well, it's a Triple M beanie, but it's in red and green.
Yeah,
so
you needed to describe the beanie. It is a non-visual medium.
I find it believable.
With a pom-pom on top. But as I'm sitting here, I'm starting to think... I feel like Dopey from the Seven Dwarfs.
No, I actually...
Funny you should say that.
I was going to comment on that because I can't wear a beanie how you're wearing it because it's a bit slouchy and that looks cool.
Okay.
I can't wear a slouchy beanie because I'm bald.
Okay.
Because you need a bit of hair to wear a slouchy
yes,
a beanie. So I've got to wear it real tight, compact to my head.
So you struggle.
I look
so
like
the beanie's
a condom.
Not your friend.
It's not. It's not. But I'm trying to rock it, doing my best.
So we're talking about, you know, beanie wearers and the people who love them.
No, I'm just describing what I'm wearing.
Right.
Would we like to talk about you and how you pronounce things like a wanker? Is that how you want to? Is that what you want to touch on?
Is that what you want to get? That's where you want to go.
We were talking earlier about how expensive things are in Europe. And
here we go.
Which is very relatable, by the way.
Richard,
we'll save your ears, podcasters.
What you bought with your coffee and how much it was.
Two coffees. And a certain piece of pastry.
Say it the way you say it.
Say it
the way you say it.
Croissant.
Oh. Are you serious?
It's what it is.
You're Australian. Blindness. It's a croissant.
No, it's not a croissant.
It's a croissant.
It's not a croissant either. It's a croissant.
It's a croissant.
Croissant.
And then we mentioned before, because you were having trouble cutting the bread over in the...
Over in Paris.
Yeah, the French buffet, again, which was very relatable. You hear that on the show. And then you mentioned they should have like a guillotine there. And Richard went, no, not a guillotine, eh?
Guillotine.
No, and then, okay, and then this is the best one. So we're talking about bread. Can you please tell me, how would you, if you were in France or Paris or Europe, what would you, you know those long French sticks, bread sticks?
They don't have French sticks in France.
The bread sticks.
They're in a baguette.
A baguette.
Yeah, he puts a bit of pepper on it.
Yeah. You sound like Inspector Clouseau from the Pink Panther.
It does.
No judge. Ghetto, where are you, my little Asian friend?
What do you say? Why do you put this pathetic, embarrassing
accent?
If you're
going to speaking their language, you've got to try and speak it the way they do. Okay, you probably sound like a goose, but they appreciate the effort.
No, I was in Paris and no one called it a croissant.
I think they appreciate you learning the language, but you don't have to put the pepper of of the accent on there.
Who said?
Well, I'm saying that because I agree with you.
Who are you?
How many times have you been to France?
Once
when I was 12. Cop that.
And clearly,
cop that between the eyes.
You never had
rude
a
rude pricks. They were rude pricks. I was 12. I was stuck so long at a hotel because I'm quite a polite young man. You know that about me. And I shut up. I was there for ages at a hotel, opening the door for people. They thought I was a doorman.
Yeah,
a 12-year-old child labour doorman just standing there.
Were you like child?
Yeah, my mum had. Yeah, I was. My mum. To be fair, my mum had to grab me and said, "Come with us."
If you're in Italy, you can't say, you know, if you're thanking them for something, saying prego. You've got to say prego.
You've got to roll that
up. I don't know what you mean. You've got to say it the way they say it.
I'm actually embarrassed for you. I'm really embarrassed for you. You must have just been gallivanting around Europe with these pathetic accents, just being laughed at behind your back.
Maybe.
You know what?
I had a crack.
But I do agree with you about Italy because I would put a bit of pepper on the Italian language.
Like what? What'd you do?
Well, sometimes like when my wife makes a great meal, which is very rare.
Right, she's not listening to this podcast.
She obviously doesn't.
And it's good. I go molto bene,
molto bene,
molto.
You can't
that's
go
creepy.
Molto bene. Right, they just look at you blankly.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
Molto bene.
The French one, though.
I'm embarrassed for you if you're saying molto
my
bene.
My cheeks. I'm just dead red.
We've had fun. We've had a fun day today, haven't we?
Oh, my expense.
Yeah.
Again.
Yes, indeed. Robbie Slater joined us to preview and review the Matildas thus far in the World Cup. They do need to lift. That was not their best. They still got the job done against Ireland. Cal Ferguson came in.
Yeah, he's good. He's very good.
Really good, honest chat about where the Aussies are at during this Ashes. Hopefully the rain comes and that can save us a little bit, hopefully get us a draw.
See, I got an opinion here, and no one cares about my opinion on cricket because I've got no credibility in the area.
Share it.
I'm a cricket fan, right? That's my only qualification. I just think we've set some terrible fields. We've put people where they shouldn't have been. We had no one where they should have been. I think the bowlers have at times completely lost their way as to how to keep pressure on. When the Poms are batting like a 2020 side, start bowling 2020 to them. Give them no opportunity to score the way you do in a 2020 match. Don't just keep bowling short pitch deliveries on the body or outside the leg stump where they're hooking it over the fence. You know why? It just goes on and on.
Do you want me to get Andrew McDonald on the phone and just, do you want to have a chat to him? Maybe you could set the field?
The disclaimer was, I'm just a fan. That's all I am.
Is it the coaching or the captaincy you've got an issue with?
Well, I don't know who makes those decisions.
Who's setting the fields yet?
Setting the fields out in the field, you would imagine, is the captain, but maybe he's on writing instructions.
But you'd also think that they would have
a
bowlers meeting before the game and they would be talking about field placement, so maybe it isn't all Pat Cummins.
That sounds boring, doesn't it? A bowlers meeting.
About field placement.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, snore off on that
one. Oh my God, snooze fest.
Yeah. Like listening to you every Saturday,
Oh, got him! You think that got me?
He doesn't feel anything anymore. He's numb. He's numb to this.
Oh, we love you, Rich.
We do. We love you. I loved having you both back. I really missed you guys while you were
Thank
away.
Thank you. Yes. We missed you too.
One more than the other. You can decide.
I missed you too. While I was eating my croissant.
You're a gluten.
While you had your cloton.
Enjoy the show.
What the hell was that?
Candace Warner, Richard Friedman and Brendan Anakin, the Triple M Dead Set Legends.
Well, would you look at this? It's been 5 long weeks, the full gang back together again. What a thrill. Candace Warner, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back.
How was the trip?
It was good. It was good. But you know what? As good as the world is, nothing beats coming home.
London. How expensive?
Ridiculously expensive. I couldn't get over.
Give us an idea, the poundage to dollar ratio.
So every day at the cricket, my girls were like, Mom, we want an ice cream. So I got 3 daughters, and for one ice cream, just a soft serve with not even a waffle cone.
One
just
each or just one for sharing?
Well, it got to, and in the end it was one for sharing.
Yeah.
It was £6.50.
And of course you were knocking back the quadruple PIMs as well.
The PIMs, they were expensive.
Don't get me started on the PIMs.
They were about £12 a PIMs.
What?
So, yeah.
£6.50 each for the 3 girls is £19.50 for 3 ice creams.
Yes.
Double it.
Yes.
And that's what it is in Aussie dollars.
It's almost $40 for 3 ice creams. Soft
and then $12 for £12 for the PIMS. Is that a single PIMS?
That was for a single PIMS.
A single PIMS.
But you know what? I'll tell you. At Lord's, I drink PIMS. Do you know what they offer you?
What?
A single, a double, or a triple PIMS.
What's a triple?
You do have to finish the sentence.
A triple shot of in your PIMS.
How much is that?
I don't know, but I tell you, one got me a little bit dizzy.
You obviously didn't pay for it.
No, I actually no, I didn't. It was. Dale Thomas was there, the former Collingwood player, and Carlton, and he was there, and he's like, "Oh, come out the back and have a drink." So I went and had a drink with him. This was when not much was going on at the cricket, so he politely bought me a drink.
That's nice.
That's lovely.
Yeah, it was nice.
Nice fellow, Dale.
Yeah.
Until he bought that one PIMS and then thought, that'll never happen again.
He's like, God, isn't she a punish?
Well, it's lovely to have you back. You as well, Richard. It's been 2 weeks for Richard, so I'm, you know.
I heard that Richard absolutely butchered my quiz while
Look,
I was
last,
away.
Last
Who have you
week?
Been talking to?
Everyone?
She's been talking
no
to
one.
Everyone that listens to it?
Yeah, he butchered it last week. I must say the first
did
week he did it.
There was no butcher.
See,
no, you bottled
it's not that easy to run a successful
what
quiz.
What about the one before?
Yeah, he got too confident because the first one I would say was nearly perfect. Like Eddie Maguire levels
yeah,
perfect.
Yeah, but it wasn't. Nearly
The second time,
Yeah, he got too cocky. Listen,
got awful.
Move on.
Yeah. No one cares about this.
Well, Candice's quiz is back after 11 and Candice will be hosting it. You can get in early if you like, 1-3-3-5-3. Look, there's heaps of stuff on, which is unreal, because usually it's a lot of NRL stuff. Barely any NRL in the show today. We've got the Women's World Cup. I'm getting right around it. It is Robbie Slater. He's joining us after 11 to preview the rest of the tournament, review the match against Ireland. You're not happy with the Matildas pay.
When is he ever happy?
Richard.
Well, you know, I'm not unhappy with what they're getting paid. I don't care what they're getting paid. What I do care about is they whinged about how much they were getting from FIFA, right? And said, "Oh, the men get four times." Really? It was done on Instagram or Twitter or something.
Dry. Keep your powder dry.
And I thought it was inappropriate at the time and poorly advised.
We're going to get to that as well as the Comm Games
Can
debacle.
I just say, yes. I'm sitting here. Richard's got this grandpa hat on, and you know those two old guys from the Muppets.
He is both Stadler and Waldorf.
Yes,
you're absolutely right.
Yeah, you're one of the old blokes from the Muppets today. You
Having
are
fun?
A Muppet.
Having fun, are you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Play the music.
I already started it 6 seconds ago. He's gone deaf now too,
yeah.
Richard, poor fella. We are praying for rain in the fourth Ashes test. Cal Ferguson joining us right after this to have a look at proceedings thus far. ACDC first.
He also looks
stop
a bit
talking
like
over
Angus
the intro.
As well.
I like the intro.
Crank it up. Double so if you're Richard.
Yeah.
So you can hear it.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends, Candice Warner, Richard Friedman and Brendan Anakin.
So much sport around at the moment. Richard's best of the day coming up before 11 o'clock, racing at Rose Hill today. Can't wait for that right now.
If it happened overnight, you'll hear it in the Triple M Dead Set Legends Sports Update.
We'll tackle some NRL issues after 11. Right now, though, the Matildas, they've used Australia's status as co-host of the Women's World Cup to call out the discrepancy in male and female tournament prize money, raise awareness about pay conditions of other nations who are competing here. It's a bit on the nose for you, Richard
Well,
Freeman.
It wasn't so much what, you know, the whole thing that was out on Twitter or Instagram or whatever, you know, whatever platform they issued it on, it was quite long, and they made a big point about how they were hard done by for money, right, compared to the men. I think you got a little grab there of what was actually said. This is only a snippet of it.
Yes, this is the PFA video.
Collective bargaining has allowed us to ensure we now get the same conditions as the Socceroos, with one exception. FIFA will still only offer women one quarter as much prize money as men for the same achievement.
And that's the bit that got under my skin.
Because
it's not the same achievement. The same achievement would be generating as much revenue as those men generate out of the World Cup that they built for themselves. They built that World Cup from nothing to what it is now as the men's game. Okay, there was only a men's game. That's fine, but they did it. So they're entitled to a share of the prize money, which they get. I think it was $440 million for the
It was,
for
and
the
it's
men.
Only 110.
And it's 110.
For the women.
Well, you know, I'm all for the women getting exactly the same share of prize money, exactly the same share of revenue as the men get in prize money. Exactly the same. And that will be about a quarter, which is what they're getting. So, you know, that bit there I just thought, you know, really? Get real.
Well, I take my hat off to the ICC, which is the International Cricket Council, because in the last week they've announced that any female ICC event will be equal to what the men make. So you got to take your hat off.
Parity will be reached.
Yes.
However, the prize money in cricket only represents a fraction of what the players earn. Most of their money comes out of contract and sponsorship.
Yes.
Where the men...
So how much is FIFA
Hang on,
worth?
Where the men will be receiving a lot more than the women because they generate more revenue.
This is the thing. Surprisingly, I disagree with you, Richard. FIFA are one of the most venal organisations on the planet, right? So they've got the money. They've got the money. Fill the coffers. Because it will be a self-sustainable model down the track. It will be. Make the investment is what
so
I'm saying.
So do we know how much the Women's World Cup, how much revenue it brings in? Do we know that?
No, it's all opaque, right? You just know that the sponsorship deals for men's soccer
do we
and,
know?
And eyeballs and TV ratings and ticket prices and all that sort of thing
okay.
are probably a lot greater for men.
So speaking of, it is. I know the numbers. It's $5 billion, I think, the men's game. This World Cup for the women is projected to reach $2 billion.
Okay, then they should so be getting
which
half.
Is growing exponentially. This is what I'm saying. They're getting a quarter at the moment. They should be getting half.
Okay.
So it's not right.
If that's the truth.
They are the numbers.
That from where?
From the
Google?
AFR.
Okay.
Australian Financial Review. I did some reading this week.
Yes.
I'm right.
Wow.
Pat myself
then
on the
I'm
back.
All in favour of them getting their share of that revenue. All right? And if it's more, if they should be getting more, they can get more.
They should
but to
be.
Say they'd be getting as much as the men or to intimate
well, parity
they
will be.
Be
reached, they reckon, by 2027.
Yeah, we'll see if that happens.
That's not ironclad, but that is what they're
reporting. No, that's not ironclad
reporting,
because
yes.
I don't think it'll happen.
Okay.
But if that happens, fine. No problem. But right now, it's naive.
Make the No, I say make the investment.
It's not put down as an investment. If the FIFA said, you're only getting this much prize money, but we're going to make an investment in you, that's a different angle. And but they with nothing
then
to
the quality
about.
Won't be there, Richard. Because women aren't going to be playing for nothing. The quality is improved. And this is the thing as
Hang
well.
Hang on. They will play because they are playing. Right? And they will play. Don't think that you're giving them more money. If you don't give them the same as the men, they won't play. That's rubbish.
I disagree with that. I don't think they'll play for longer.
We'll see. That's all. I've had a beef about it and got it it's off okay. my chest.
I
that
was
a
good like
chat.
You're just anti-women's sport.
I'm not
oh, he's not.
Sport.
I don't believe he is.
No, I'm not. I'm all for women's sport.
Good.
But I don't like the constant barrage of, we should be getting the same as the men when they're producing a fraction of the revenue.
I okay? understand your point.
Build your own revenue. Get as much as you can.
And I understand that point. I just don't agree with it in this instance. And that's fine. Hey, the Comm Games. 2026.
Oh, what about that? What well,
the whole games are in doubt.
Yeah.
Victoria, they've cancelled.
Someone's lying.
And also...
You reckon?
Yeah. I mean...
reckon?
But first of all, it's not going to cost $7 billion.
Well, not according to the Comm Games people.
No.
They say more down around the $2 billion mark.
Well,
right?
I think for the 2018 Gold Coast Commonwealth Games, that cost around 1.8.
Yeah, that's about right.
Yeah, so for this to be blown out to seven is just
well, there was a statement
ridiculous.
When they got the games in 2022, you can find it somewhere. Dan Andrews is like, don't worry, speaking of investments, don't worry about the cost. We don't care. It is an investment. We are happy to hold
How
the games.
How is this Gherkinhead?
Gherkinhead
still,
is incredible.
Still.
Not heard that before.
Yeah.
Ah, what is it?
The premier of Victoria.
Gherkinhead.
Gherkinhead.
How?
Never heard it.
Have you not heard Gherkinhead before?
Never. That's incredible.
In Victoria, there's
one of the great insults.
There's a cult of personality behind Dan Andrews. But Dan Andrews aside, I don't reckon it could ever have worked. They were going to do it in regional centres. They've got no accommodation for athletes. They've got no accommodation for volunteers in those places. That would have cost massive amounts of money to build all of that. They were talking about putting the athletes in a cruise ship off the Geelong coast.
This is just a huge embarrassment.
But
this,
here's
it's,
the thing.
It's very
it could
embarrassing.
Never have worked. It was impossible logistically to make this work. That's why I reckon they cancelled it
do you
and
think
made up the money.
The games
story.
Itself has sort of had its time, though. Like, do you think it's strange that like imperialised nations still congregate to compete
Look,
at sport?
I think like slightly, but I think at the same time it holds a huge place in the sporting calendar, especially for athletics.
We do well.
Swimming. No, not just about that, but for these.
What about the sports that only have Commonwealth Games? Netball,
That's right.
squash, bowls, all Lord those God. Games.
And, all the big ones.
And but the thing is
to them.
Swimming, athletics and all these other, like you're saying, all these other sports, they don't have a grand final each year. They have an Olympic Games. Every 4 years,
world
they have a world
champs
and yep. then the Commonwealth Games. And I just think there's still a huge place for it in the sporting calendar, and this is an embarrassment.
Well, Dan Andrews, happy to cancel things last minute. What about you? 133353, what have you cancelled? Now, I want big ticket items because the Comm Games is a big ticket item. I'm talking weddings, parties, Christmas. If you cancel Christmas for your kids, I want you to call 133353. I want to hear about it.
I threaten it.
This is the thing, but who goes through it with it? That's what I want to hear on 133353. What about you?
I've cancelled family members.
Cancelled family members. This is what I want. Family men, bloodlines cut off from the Friedman family. I love it.
Judge is mine.
When talking sport 24/7 is barely enough. Do you ever shut up? This is Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Candace Warner, Richard Friedman and Brendan Anakin.
Some signing news in the NRL, a former Panther heading back to the club. The Dragons have put the blowtorch through their roster as well. We'll get to
well,
that.
Well, they need to.
It would seem so after 11 on 133.53 asking you, what have you cancelled after, well, Dan Andrews said, well, the Comm Games aren't happening here in Victoria. No way. New South Wales not adopting it either?
WA. Basil Zemplis, who is the Lord Mayor of Perth, he was really pushing, but...
Couldn't get any support?
Probably not.
And that, look, they still might have it in Queensland on the Gold Coast. Now, they hosted it in 2018 and it was quite a successful Games. And they say, we do have accommodation. We do have all this stuff. We can do it. I know Anastasia Palaszczuk ruled it out only a few days ago, but her minister has since come out and said... Yeah, we still might be in the running.
Not the Olympics, though.
Would they not
be
putting all their money towards the Olympics, though?
Yeah, but that's Brisbane, isn't it? Brisbane and Gold Coast. I mean, to Gold Coast, they're going to use some of those venues, I guess, for the Olympics as well. So if they've got the infrastructure and they've got the accommodation and they've got the logistics nailed down, they're probably a live option. Glasgow, they put their hand up, I think, and said we could be interested.
Well, Scotland, interestingly, Birmingham saved the last Comm Games as well.
Yeah.
Doesn't look good for the old Commonwealth Games.
That's the thing. They weren't the first port of call either, Victoria, because they adopted the game.
Yes.
What a mess. Anyway, we're asking you on 133.53, what have you cancelled in the wake of all this? James, what did you cancel, mate?
All right. So it was a gherkin head that I happened to work
with. Gherkin head.
Yeah, I have definitely heard that. We had this conference going on in a place in the Northern Territory, quite a small town. And people coming from all over the country to get there. And we're talking hundreds of people. And we had seven extra rooms in the hotel. And this particular person rang up and on behalf of the, instead of saying our section, said, we'd like to cancel our accommodation. The hotel's gone, no worries. Cancelled everyone. This is the day before. People rock up and have nowhere to stay in a small town in the Northern Territory.
Oh,
and
dear.
With hundreds of people, there's people sleeping in kitchen floors and all that sort of
Sounds
stuff.
Sounds like a fire festival.
Oh, that's awful.
No, not good at all.
In the NT as well. Listen, go no further. You are our caller of the day. There's a bit of everything in a Red Rooster mega box. The Rooster's calling you to try a mega box at Red Rooster today. $100 to spend there. You'll spend it well, I'm sure, James.
Thank you very much. Absolutely.
Good stuff.
That is bad. What about that fire festival? One of the great misadventures. Do you remember that?
No. I do remember
that. The one
that
they held in the Bahamas. I think it was Bahamas, wasn't it?
Yes, indeed. Yeah.
And said they're going to have all these great bands. They were taking, people spent millions on tickets. They all started turning up. There were tents. There were... It was a debacle. No one turned up to play.
Well, the band started turning up to play and they left. Yeah. That's the thing. You can see the documentary on Netflix.
It's one of the best.
Yes, I think we're going back to, 2017 there, so.
Yeah, I go back a way. You know, I like a bit of history.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
All the big names.
Big names.
I'd like to hear some more opinions.
Strong opinions.
Just be careful of splinters if you choose to sit on the fence.
Imagine the splinters.
Candace Warner, Richard Friedman and Brendan Anakin.
Steph Curry, you'd have to say the greatest NBA player right now, surely?
Oh, he's up there.
He's good.
One of the best of all time.
He's annoyed me no end. He's overachieving.
Yes.
And I'm not having it.
No.
Begrudgingly, he's been made our player of the week. I don't agree with it.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get to what's happened after 11. Yep. Speaking of basketball, the Sydney Kings, they're back. First home game of the season. Look, it's a little while away. It's 4 p.m. Sunday, 8th of October versus Adelaide 36ers.
Do you reckon they can go back to back to back?
Back? The three-peat, if you will?
I reckon they can.
Absolutely they can.
Kudos. What do you think, Richard?
It's possible.
Anything's possible, isn't it, man?
That's all I got to
I
say.
I like that song.
Which one? It Takes Two, if you want to see Candace Warner sing on YouTube. It Takes Two. We've got a double pass to that first home game. These are the first tickets available, 133.53, to see the Kings when they embark on that three-peat in October. Now, Richard Friedman, big day of racing at Rosehill. You've got your best of the day.
Yes, I you're going to have to wait a bit for this. I know that frustrates you. Young millennial Brendan.
Here's my thing. I don't invest in the last couple of races of the day.
Really? Yeah. Oh, well, you won't be betting then.
Unless it's like the get-out stakes and I need to invest in the last of the day.
I like to get my mail from Rose Hill because that's where I am in the morning before the show and I like to hear from the trainers. There's some very good trainers at Rose Hill. Chris Waller, Gerald Ryan, the Hawkses.
Stop dropping all the names.
You like to do what's the easiest. Is what I heard.
And then he doesn't have to take
like
any
to do
accountability.
The easiest.
Because then if it doesn't win, it's not Richard's fault. Yeah.
Race 10 at Rose Hill.
Race 10?
Oh, yep.
I'm not a punter, even me. That sounds like forever away.
I know, Candace.
Race 10. What's race 10? Number 4, Kalino. There you go.
What's it paying?
$4.40 at the moment. There are thereabouts.
I've got a horse racing at Rosehill.
Yes,
well, actually, my husband does. I just pay the bills.
Yes, I know the guys that own that horse too, most of it.
What's it called, Richard?
What's your own horse called? What's my horse called?
I just pay the bills.
What a relatable.
Right, I just pay the bills.
Okay, your horse is called Seminar.
Yep.
S-E-M-A-N-A.
I know it's race eight. Yep.
Race eight, yeah. It's got a run. I think it was the first emergency. It was. It got a run with a scratching, so you were out of the field this
What's
morning.
What's it paying? But,
at the moment, $3.60 and on the drift.
What does that mean? It's gone the way out.
It's not being backed.
Well, it's just easing out.
Because
at the
maybe people don't know about it.
There's no market confidence, is what that means.
Put some money on it.
Okay.
You gamble can't responsibly. Say that.
So Colino in race 10. I heard this morning. All those that love the first couple of races of the day, which I do, Diamond Diesel.
Just the first couple of races of the day, or just the first couple after every hour?
Diamond Diesel loves winter because they start at like 11:30 in the morning. You know, so
that is true.
It's about the length of your concentration span.
Oh, I didn't know what you were going to say there.
Is that what you call it?
Really long.
Have you seen my concentration span?
The port of call for the big names from every code.
Big names.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends, Candace Warner, Richard Friedman and Brendan Anakin.
The Matildas already with 3 points in the Women's World Cup. He'll preview the rest of their group stage very shortly. Candace's quiz still on the way.
Oh, cannot wait for that.
It's nice to have you back doing it.
Yeah, you know what? I really appreciate that because all I get from Richard, who is sitting on my right, is negativity. I get these vibes. He looks at me with daggers. He's just like do not come back and bring this quiz back.
I was hoping, but they seemed determined to do it. And back it comes.
You were very good at it the first week where Ken's
I tried that week.
You did?
I was very good the second week too.
You put in no effort the second week. No effort. Hey, let's do this.
4 and 20. We've been there for it all. Australia's original fan food.
The Dead Set Legends Player of the Week.
Now, I argued against this. I didn't want this, but you choose the Player of the Week, Candace Warner, and who have you
chosen?
And it
was tough this week because there were so many candidates, but this week goes to Steph Curry. Now, we're so used to talking about Steph Curry on the basketball court where he does the most incredible stuff, and we all know
One of the greats of the game.
One of the greats in playing for Golden State Warriors. But he made a hole-in-one during the week at the American Century Championships celebrity tournament.
The golf tournament.
Yeah, before going on to winning it. And it was 152-yard par 3, seventh hole. And, I mean...
It's sickening, isn't it?
It's sickening because...
What a prick. What a prick, honestly.
What can't he do?
Yeah.
What can't he
do? Stay in your lane.
I got more for this. Do you know what his handicap is?
Well, it'd be like close to scratch, surely.
Plus 1.3. He's a plus handicapper.
What a prick.
Yeah.
That's pro level.
And do you know what? There's other sports people that are quite good at golf as well. Do you know that Michael Phelps, the most decorated Olympian of all time, he holds the record for the longest putt.
Where?
In America somewhere, 159 feet.
He must have putted it from halfway down the fairway.
Yeah, that's a monster putt. Yep. He got the old Texas wedge out.
Yeah. Now, monster putt. While we're talking about golf, the British Open is on at the moment, and I want to do a big shout-out to Australian and Kiama local, Travis Smyth, who nailed the shot of the tournament. He hit a hole-in-one at Royal Liverpool, the most controversial new hole. It's a par 3 on the 17th. So congratulations to Trav.
Yeah, but that's his game. Trav, but you're not Steph.
Yeah, that's his game.
Yeah.
I do love Kiama though.
Beautiful. I spent a part of my...
famous for the blowhole on the ice creamery, of course.
I spent part of my youth growing up there. I have a very soft spot for Kiama.
Oh, well, yeah, anyway, let's not take away from what Trav has done just because it's what he does.
No, but that's his sport. It's not Steph's sport.
Steph's doing this in his spare time.
Speaking of Steph Curry, did you see the video doing the rounds where he's bouncing the ball, he's dribbling in practice, and then he loses the dribble, but he's like, well, that wasn't my skills, that was the court. And then he starts bouncing the ball on different parts of the court, and where he lost the ball, there was a dead spot. He didn't lose it.
No.
He's like, no, it's not me, it's the court, and it was the court.
I think you're spending too much time Googling Steph Curry.
What a prick.
Exactly.
I love him, but I hate him, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Sounds like it. Sounds like you're stalking him.
So do you reckon he is good at everything?
Oh, he's proper good
Let's
at everything.
Let's get his wife on the line.
Why?
Why?
Oh. Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Silly me.
Yeah, I know.
See if he's good around the kitchen, around the house.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
If it happens on the field, in the
change rooms, or the car park. Hear about it here. Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Candace Warner, Richard Friedman and Brendan Anakin.
And the Matildas, they kicked off their World Cup campaign in the right fashion with a 1-0 win over Republic of Ireland Thursday. To review that, preview the rest of the tournament, joined by former Socceroo Robbie Slater. Mate, it was a timid start for the Matildas in the group stage. Expected a win, though, and they got it.
Now, look, the Matildas, look, I think the best way to sum it up is it was a great event. What a great spectacle and a great night for women's football and football in general. Also tinged with that little bit of sadness for Sam Kerr. Of course, 3 years in the build-up, she's the face of the World Cup and now big star. And obviously that calf injury, which is, at best saying that it's troubling, because we know soft tissue injuries can be,
and they can take time too.
Okay, they can take time. So, look, they've said 2 games, but I don't know. I fear that it could be. I hope not. I hope for her and for all the people and the kids and young girls and young boys that want to see her. So anyway, that's another story. As for the performance, no, they need to get better. There's no doubt.
Yeah.
There was some good performances, but I think the best way to sum it up was defensively. So which says that we kind of struggled. I think Ireland were a little bit unlucky. They controlled the last half an hour and had the best chances. And they gave us a goal. I mean, there was no need for that Irish defender to push Hayley Razzo in the back. She did, gifted us a goal. We took it. And, sometimes in big tournaments like that, you don't always get the performance, but they certainly did get the result. And it was a great atmosphere. And, I think they will get better. They have to get better if they're going to progress deep into this tournament. I think Katrina Gorry was fantastic in the middle of the park. Her partnership with Cooney Cross will be crucial. And I think the big positive that comes out of it, guys, is that they haven't conceded a goal in 3 games now. They beat England, they've beaten France, and now they've beaten Ireland without conceding a goal. So defensively, they're very, very well set up. Alana Kennedy, after struggling for a full year with injury, was outstanding again.
All right, Robbie, I'm going to ask you a hard question. Only one host nation has ever won the Women's World Cup. Can we win it?
Well, look, unfortunately for the Matildas, I've jumped right on the bandwagon and tipped the Matildas to play the USA in the final. Now that, and I had Sam Kerr as the golden boot.
Okay.
So it's the double kiss of death for Sam.
So they can win it. You're saying the Matildas can win it.
They'll have to get by Nigeria. That is going to be a tough match. Mm-hmm. They're a bit very physical, Nigeria. And then they've got to take on Canada. Which way are those matches going to go?
Well, look, I think for the Matildas, it was a great result that Nigeria and Canada drew yesterday.
Yeah.
It puts us top of the group with 3 points. I see us topping this group. I think we'll beat Nigeria. I think we'll get past Canada. I don't think we'll see Sam Kerr, at all in the group stage. I think it would be silly to risk her, especially if we win our next game. We're basically through top of the group, so you really wouldn't need to play her the last game. But I see us topping the group. I think if that's the case, we're on track to play Denmark. We've, in quite recent times, beaten Denmark.
Mm.
We'd set up a potential quarterfinal if it goes the way we think it will go. It doesn't always go that way. But we play France again in the quarters. So, look, that's some way off. I think they'll get better after what was, a very, very difficult game. You just mentioned that Nigeria, physical they are. They had a red card in their game against Canada. But, we should be ready for physical, because that game against Ireland was very physical. And, I think that's what sort of upset us. I don't think Mary Fowler couldn't really have any presence in the game, because she always had 2 defenders around her. So, up front we struggled. Obviously, Sam Kerr wasn't there. We're going to have to probably deal with that again against Nigeria and Canada. But I think the girls, there's a lot of belief. The home crowd is a big thing. But, Candace, you are right to point out that only once has a host nation won in the Women's World Cup. France 4 years ago failed. They were fancied to win it, and they dropped out in the quarterfinals. I just got a feeling about this Matilda side that I don't think they're the best side in the world, but I think their character, you can see what a bond they have to each other, with each other. I just think there's something special. But maybe to win it, I think they need Sam Kerr to get out of that injury.
And hopefully she does. They're breaking records everywhere. Over 75,000 in attendance. It was the largest attendance for a women's soccer match.
Close to 2 million viewers.
2 million viewers
as well.
Absolutely incredible seeing the women's game thriving in this country. And we thank you for your time, Robbie Slater. We'll catch you next time.
Ladies and gentlemen,
if it's happening in sport, it'll get a run here.
The greatest happening in sport.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Candace Warner, Richard Friedman and Brendan Anakin.
If it happened overnight, you'll hear it in the Triple M Dead Set Legends Sports Update.
What do you got for us, Candace Warner?
All right, well, it all started round NRL round 21. It kicked off on Thursday when the Dragons were too good for West Tigers, 18-14.
Battle of the Spoon. They avoided it. You are only a fan of one of those teams if you were watching that game. There was the Matildas were on. You had there's some other big sporting event going on.
The Ashes was on.
Ashes was on.
Yep. The golf was on.
Madness.
And just as we said that, Tony Squires, who is the biggest St. George fan ever, yeah, exactly. He would have been watching the game. He was cheering.
Up and about that his team's coming 16th. Good on you, Tony. Shane Flanagan started putting the blowtorch through the squad. Moses Mbai, Zane Musgrove, Jaden Hunt and Jaden Sullivan being told their service is not required next season. Wow. Surplus of Jadens.
Yes.
There were too many Jadens. Three Jadens, all spelt differently.
Is there?
Incredible.
Wow. Is that the parents trying to be a bit fancy? Or?
Yeah, guess.
I didn't know there were three ways to spell Jaden.
Yeah, have a guess.
J-A-Y-N.
Yes.
J-A-Y.
Yeah.
And then J-A-I.
J-A-I-Y-D-E-N.
Oh, why do the Y-N
I don't know. It's
the
absolutely
I-N
madness.
The Y.
Anyway, only one Jaden left
maybe
after this season.
Maybe that's the problem. Surplus
of Jadens.
Too many Jadens. And then last night, terrific game. The Warriors beat the Raiders by 1 point.
Yeah, the Warriors were probably better most of the night, I thought. And the Raiders got back in it in the last second they scored a try.
Madness. There was 2 minutes left. Yeah. I went to do a poo. I'm sorry. I thought it was over. And then when I came back, the game was still going. I was like, well, this isn't right. This is madness.
Went to Golden Point and obviously the Warriors slotted the Golden Point. But I think there's something inherently unfair about the way they start the Golden Point. Because the team that kicks off, obviously they win a toss and they choose and they'll kick off. They slam it right down on the other team's goal line. And what do you do? Like, you're not going to get far enough up in one set if they defend decently to get a shot. And yet they will get a shot the first time they get the ball.
Golden try.
Oh, that could go forever.
Yeah. Well, that could go.
Well, it would stop after 10 minutes.
Yeah. Well, anyway, the other game last night, the Broncos, well, aren't they in some scintillating form.
Well said.
Smash the Rabbitohs, actually, 36-20.
Is Latrell a lot more injured than they're letting on?
So. Look, I don't know the ins and outs, but you'd have to think so because this injury has been hanging around for a little bit longer than anyone has expected.
And I know they've got another buy up their sleeves, but they're going to want to start winning some games because they're just about to drop out of the eight there, the Bunnies.
Yeah, they are. So we've got some really good games today. The first game is the Titans over the Roosters. The Roosters would be desperate for a win. The Knights versus the Storm, and then the last game, the Cowboys and the Eels, which I think is the game of the night.
If it happens on the field, in the change rooms, or the car park, hear about it here. Triple M's Dead Set Legends, Candace Warner, Richard Friedman and Brendan Anakin.
Rusty's Motorsport Update. For Bendix, Bendix Brakes. Put your foot down with confidence.
Yeah, you hear all his fine work on the Rusty's Garage podcast. You can get it for free on the Listener app. L-I-S-T-N-R is how you spell that. R-U-S-T-Y is how you spell Rusty. A man you missed, Candace Warner.
I did.
Always.
I love chatting to Rusty.
He's a good man. Hey, Rusty.
Good morning.
Good morning. Dan Ricciardo, who I'm a huge supporter of, even though I said he'd never drive in an F1 car again.
There's a lot of things that you say, Richard, that just never come to fruition.
No. I understand this. I get this. He's been hosing down expectation, which is probably the right thing to do about his, you know, how he'll go in the Hungarian Grand Prix. So how did he go overnight in practice?
I think probably this goes in part to what we talked about on last week's show, and that is that this car is very different compared to the Red Bull that he had a drive of recently and so on. So there's a bit to learn. He says he's about 95% there, Richard, but that final 5% and learning what the car's capable of will take a bit of work. He's ended up 14th in practice session two, so that is actually probably better than what we have seen in recent time from the AlphaTauri cars, but his teammate, Yuki Tsunoda, his new teammate, was fourth quickest. So a bit of rain around and a few things happened during those two practice sessions. So can't read a massive amount into that. The real test will be qualifying tonight, our time.
Now, Rusty, is it true or not Red Bull decided only 11 laps into Dan's test that it would axe the young Dutch driver who was in that seat?
Candice, you are bang on. So Christian Horner, the boss of the Red Bull team, spoke about this in one of the official F1 podcasts in recent days. So Dan has obviously been in the simulator regularly. He's been to every driver's briefing while he's been on the sidelines having this sabbatical and so on. When he got behind the wheel of the car for a tyre test after the British Grand Prix, they reckon he was doing times that were good enough to put him on the front row of the grid in that car. And by lap 11, one of the tough men in the Red Bull business, Helmut Marko, who makes all the calls on which drivers go where in their family and who's in and who's out and so on, was on the phone to sadly drop the news to Nyck de Vries that he was out.
Wow. Is it about AlphaTauri with him, or is it about him getting back in to a Red Bull car?
Yeah, that's
he's auditioning for that, isn't he?
He's made that very clear. He said he's eyeing that up. Now Sergio Perez has a contract for next year, so that would be 2025 if he can make that happen. Lots of journos are wondering about, like Checo had a crash in practice overnight, and one of the first people to drive past it freakishly was Dan. So lots of journos are sort of wondering about what's happening with Sergio Perez. He's had a bit of a tough run in qualifying, but races incredibly well. But he does have a deal, Richard, through to the end of next year. But clearly, Daniel is targeting that seat.
Now, what about this? A double dose of supercar drivers in the States next month. You've got Shane Van Gisbergen heading back for more NASCAR. Brody Kostecki along for the ride this time.
Yeah, Brendan. So Brody's been leading the Supercars Championship until very recently. His teammate Will Brown now top of the points there. But he's got a bit of a background in this style of racing, having competed in categories that feed into NASCAR, if you will. He's been working on this deal for about 4 months. Mm. He'll be one of the gun teams, Richard Childress Racing. Van Gisbergen back with the same guys he was with for Chicago. And they'll be racing on the Indianapolis Road Course, so which goes in through the centre of the famous, iconic racetrack there at Indy. So that's coming up in August.
So drivers down under, a bit of flavour of the month with these people.
Yeah, I think, firstly, both of these guys enjoy that style of racing. Probably the new generation NASCAR and maybe the new generation supercar are maybe a little bit closer in some respects, although you are driving on the left-hand side and there are other points of difference. But for those style of races, those two guys will be in very, very good shape, I reckon.
Little Aussie Quinella, do we lock it in now? Huh?
Yeah.
Why not? Good odds about that. I think it could happen. Greg Rust, always a pleasure, my man. We do it for Bendix Brakes. Put your foot down with confidence. We'll catch you next week, Rusty.
See you, gang. Thank you.
Richard's list of grievances getting a run next. Are you handing over your grievance today?
Well, seeing I resurrected the quiz, well, Candice was away.
Yeah.
No, you didn't. You butchered it.
No, resurrected it.
No, you didn't.
No, I'm going to magnanimously, because that's the kind of guy I am.
You are, yes.
I'm going to allow you to do the grievance, Candice.
This is a lot of pressure.
Do you feel, privileged?
I'm a bit nervous, actually.
We'll get to it. It's madness. You're the only two people that have come back from holidays with a list of grievances that you need to air.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends, Candice Warner, Richard Friedman and Brendan Anakin.
Richard's list of grievances.
Well, I got a little bit tired of carrying the load of negativity, so I thought I might offload it today onto someone who is equally negative, but people don't really know that. They don't realise.
No.
Okay. Off you go, Candy.
All right, I'm not equally as negative. I just walked in today and I just said, look, I've got a bit of a grievance.
Yeah.
I was in Paris recently having a little holiday with the family, took the kids to Disneyland.
Who doesn't do that?
You've come back with a grievance. Yeah. What is it?
The grievance is, so each morning you'd go down to the buffet at breakfast.
Mm. This is in a 5-star hotel, no?
No.
Yes.
No, just
yes.
In a hotel. Right.
5-star.
Regardless of what star it was.
5.
You go down to breakfast and all you want is some toast.
Yep.
You want to put your bread in the toaster, happy days, off you go. But they try to be too fancy for my liking and they give you the whole loaf of sourdough.
Yeah, sourdough.
Sourdough.
Yeah,
okay. Right?
Some artisanal bread.
Well,
got
we
it.
Are in Paris. Let's not forget.
Of course.
No, of course.
But let's get to it.
What really annoys me is the fact that they give you a blunt knife and they expect you to cut your loaf of bread yourself.
Slice your own bread.
Now, sourdough is really crunchy on the outside, so it's not easy to break the knife through.
Now, we've eaten bread before. Go on.
What annoys me is the inconsistency when you cut it yourself. It's thick up the top and thin down the bottom. Yep. And when you put that in the toaster, it burns. Now, when I wake up, I want to just put my own bread in the toaster. Yeah. I don't want to have to carve for a minute with a blunt knife.
There are people out there without bread.
Wahoo. And let me say, you're worried about cutting the sourdough. But it's also unhygienic.
In the 5-star hotel.
But it's unhygienic because the lady before me was coughing all over the thing. She was an elderly lady who didn't care about anyone
now
else.
She's gone to the
You're supposed to use this napkin over the bread.
This. Mate, to be fair, this is you most weeks. I'll be quite honest.
Like,
the tone is unreal.
How hard is it to slice the bread before everyone wakes up?
It is.
Someone isn't doing their job.
It is wild that
put them in jail.
That the buffet has survived post-COVID, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Just wild. Yeah. That was a good grievance.
But
I like
that. Also, just slice the bread. You go to Baker's Delight and they say, would you like your bread sliced?
You've made your point.
Please.
We've heard it. The bread wasn't unrelatable. Sliced. But you know what? That's the segment.
Oh, I love having you both back.
Game, set and match. And other cliches time permitting. Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Candace Warner, Richard Friedman and Brendan Anakin.